Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our theme verse for today comes from James chapter 1, where he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And if at some point during the service or during the sermon you want to hear and see exactly what I'm talking about, that hymn that we just sang, 696 in your hymnal, all four verses are basically going to be an outline of what I'm going to talk about here. So, very good choice, Bryce. Thank you for that piece. I'm convinced that God has a plan. Are you convinced that God has a plan? You see, I'm persuaded by God's roadmap. I'm convinced by His purpose. I'm guided by His direction in my life. And it's not like He leaves us alone with nothing to look at or see. He puts up signs, big signs to direct us, billboards sometimes, if only we'll look. He also uses bullhorns so that we can hear His voice, if only we'll listen. I believe some days He shakes the earth and the sky to make clear His direction and the guidance that He wants us to take in for our lives. He makes clear His word and where He wants us to follow. And unlike human voices or hearing or seeing, which can be fuzzy, blurry, distorted, or maybe not even working for a short time, God's voice can be clearly heard, clearly seen. His voice will be clear and precise. Actually, it's a symphony of completion and perfection. Because, my friends, the message God gave His followers thousands of years ago is still the very same message that He gives to us today. So today, what we're going to discuss is whether we are hearers or doers, as James proposes. And then we need to do something. Then we need to decide if where we find ourselves as a hearer or a doer is where we ought to be. In her book, Amazing Grace, writer and poet Kathleen Norris shares what she calls the scariest story ever about the Bible. Norris and her husband were visiting a man named Arlo, this rugged, self-made guy who was facing terminal cancer. Now, Arlo, during their visit, was talking about many things, but he focused specifically on his grandfather, a sincere Christian. Arlo was not a sincere Christian. Arlo told the story, "My grandfather gave me and my bride a wedding present all those years ago, an expensive leather-bound Bible with our names printed on the front." Arlo, not thinking he had anything necessary to do with the Bible, left it in the box, never opened it. But he remembers, for months afterward, my grandfather kept asking if I liked the Bible. Am I enjoying the Bible? Arlo told Norris, "My wife had written a nice thank you note. We thanked him in person, but somehow he couldn't let it lie. He always had to ask me what I thought about the Bible. Finally, I grew curious enough to open my Bible." And Arlo says, "The joke was on me, because I finally took the Bible out, and I found that my granddad had placed a $20 bill at the beginning of the book of Genesis and the beginning of the rest of the 65 books of the Bible. Over $1,300 in all, and the scary part, he knew that I would never find it." Sad to say, I think that describes a lot of people. Yeah, maybe they own a Bible, but do they ever really open it to see the treasure within? Because, my friends, what we have here is nothing less than God's word to us. What we have here is God's truth and a treasure far greater than $1,300. James, in the verse before our theme verse, says, "Get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls." Now, James is not only talking about saving our souls in an eternal sense. He's addressing brothers and sisters in Christ already in the family of God, already destined for heaven. Now, James is also talking about worldly salvation. He's reminding us of where our hope in times of hopelessness come from, where our deliverance, where we get the power to move us from despair, disobedience, and hopelessness when our life gets hard. And oh, it's going to get hard. Back just a few verses earlier, James says, the word of God caused us to be born again. And now in verse 21, the word of God keeps us safe and saves our souls. So my question for us is, do we want to pass the tests of life and come out the other end stronger, a better person, living more like Christ? Well, if we do, then we need to receive the word. We need to welcome God's word in your life. We need to accept God's message to each and every one of us in that Bible. And that means more than just owning a copy or two or three in your home. That means at the very least, you got to open it up. You got to hear it. You got to read it once in a while. You need to develop a daily habit of getting into God's word so that you can find what God has in store for you, so that it can be a help. No, not a help. A critical benefit to you as life knocks you around. Something that could get you back on the right track. The psalmist said it this way. He says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we know what God wants us to do? What he calls sin, what's right and wrong? Well, we look in his word. How are we going to know what to do? We need to look in his word to figure out what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. Now, someone once figured out that if you read the Bible at a standard pulpit speed, slow enough to be heard and understood, it would take you about 71 hours. And if you break that number down into minutes and divide those by 365, maybe 365 and a quarter, if you know about leap year, you could read the entire Bible from cover to cover in 1 year, investing less than 12 minutes a day. So I encourage you, if you're not already doing that, invest just 12 minutes a day into God's word. Now, I know for some of you, I don't have 12 minutes, Pastor Dan. I'm busy from the time I get up to the time I lay down. Prioritize. Find those 12 minutes. And others of you are saying, oh, I got plenty of time. I have lots of 12 minutes, but I really don't want to do that, Pastor Dan. I've got plenty of other things. Prioritize. Prioritize for your best eternal interest, not for your best temporal interest. Set aside just 12 minutes every day to read the Bible, because it can and it will give you a whole new outlook on life and will save your soul. Not your eternal soul only, but the daily stress and those trials and heartaches that we all must contend with. So receive the word. That means read it every once in a while, but more importantly, that means do it. Put God's word into practice. And then with God's help, we need to seek to live out what we find in there, to make what we find in the Bible a part of our lives. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That deceiving yourselves is kind of tricky. What does James mean there? Now, some people have read and reread the Bible so much that they know it backwards and forwards. And they've heard hundreds, if not thousands, of wonderful sermons here at Zion and other places. They may have even taught a Bible study from time to time. And so they think they're safe from falling into sin. That's where the deceiving yourselves come into play. Because if you're not doing what you've read, heard, or taught, you're only deceiving yourself. You're not safe. Because it's the doing of the word, not just the hearing the word, that keeps each of us from despair, from disobedience, from those temptations of life. Most people are familiar with the Heimlich maneuver, grabbing a choking victim from behind and giving them an abdominal thrust to clear out a throat obstruction. The Heimlich maneuver has been credited with saving more than 100,000 lives since it was introduced in 1974. And it was named after Dr. Henry J., guess what? Heimlich, a thoracic surgeon who died a few years ago at the age of 96. Yeah, he invented, and he spent decades teaching that life-saving technique to all who would listen. But he never, ever used it himself in a real emergency until just 7 months before he passed away. It turns out an 87-year-old woman was choking at the table next to him at their senior residence in Cincinnati, Ohio. Patty Riss was sitting next to Dr. Heimlich's table when she began choking on a hamburger. She said, the next thing I knew, I was not breathing. I was choking so hard. And that's when Dr. Heimlich did his thing. And she said, quote, a piece of meat with a little bone flew out of my mouth. but he finally got a chance to practice what he had preached and taught all of those years. You see, it's not just enough to know and hear and talk about God's word. It's great that you're here, listening and taking it in, but you need to do more. You've got to put it into practice for it to do any good. If you want to pass the test of life and come out of the other side from your trials as a stronger person, then you've got to receive the word. You may intellectually know all the rules of the road. You may have studied from front to back the driver's manual, but if you don't pass your driving test, you can't legally drive. It's the same with God's word. And with God's help, we need to then reflect on God's word. We need to receive it first, and then we need to reflect on it. We need to look at the mirror of God's word. We call God's law a curb, a mirror, and a rule. It can show us the things in our life that need changing. And then we need to ask God to help us fix those things. James illustrates that in the next couple of verses. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like." Now, I know that James is talking about men here, right? Because men, it's only men that would glance at themselves in a mirror with their hair all messed up and their shirt tail out and walk away without doing anything, right? You ladies, on the other hand, you glance in the mirror, you see one hair out of place. You got to stop and fix that before you move on. But friends, that's the way God wants us to treat his word. The one who looks into the perfect law, James continues, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James says the blessing from freedom from sin comes from doing the word. Not knowing it intellectually, not hearing it, not seeing it, not putting it in your mind, but actually doing the word. The real blessings that come from growth through our trials only happen by putting God's word into practice, not just seeing it and forgetting it, as James said. As you consider today where to go for your Mother's Day brunch, lunch, or dinner, consider this story. A group of 30-year-old friends got together for a reunion and were discussing where they should go for dinner. Somebody said that we should go to the new Glowing Embers restaurant because the waitstaff there is so young and beautiful and everything is all vibrant. And they all agreed, and they went. 15 years later, 45 years of age, they all meet once again and discussed where they should have dinner. Somebody suggested the Glowing Embers restaurant because the food there is so tasty. They all agreed, and they went. Another 15 years go by, and they're now 60 years old. And they again discuss where to meet. Somebody suggested the Glowing Embers restaurant because you can sit there in peace and quiet, and the restaurant is smoke-free. They all agreed. Another 15 years, the age of 75, the group discussed where they should meet. Somebody suggested they should meet at the Glowing Embers restaurant because the restaurant is handicapped accessible. They all agreed, and they went. And finally, 15 years later, at the age of 90, that same group of friends discussed one more time where they should go to dinner. And somebody suggested they should meet at the Glowing Embers restaurant because they'd never been there before. And they all agreed, and they went. Now, I can understand people in their 90s forgetting some things. But friends, there's just no excuse for you and I forgetting the basic principles of God's word. We who have put our trust, our whole lives, some of us, in Christ, and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the more we feed on God's word, the stronger the Spirit is to be there to remind us and empower us of the wonderful things that we can do in our lives if we will only do God's word. But don't look at the word and forget what you see. Instead, look at the word and then fix what needs fixing. Your life doesn't follow along with what God says you should be doing in your life, then you need to adjust and fix. Not change, because we don't like change, but we can adjust and we can fix. And we need to rely on God's Spirit to help us do the fixing, to correct what needs correcting, because it's the only way to pass the tests of life. It's the only way that we can come out on the other side of our trials a better person, living more like Christ every day. need to receive the word. We need to do it. We need to reflect on the word. We need to fix it. And then we need to get very practical, as James does here in the next few verses. Specifically, he says, if you're going to do God's word, you must practice true religion. These are James's word, not mine. Serve the Lord sincerely. Truly worship the Lord. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This is verse 3 of the song that we just sang. If you want to be truly religious, control your words. Bridle your tongue. Don't say you're doing God's word if you can't control the words coming out of your mouth. Don't say you're religious if you're reckless with your tongue. Writer and speaker Rabbi Joseph Taluskin has lectured throughout the United States on the powerful and often negative impact of our words. At the beginning of his talk, he often asked his audiences, I'm not going to do this to you today, but he asked his audience to raise their hands if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about or to another person. Very few people ever put up their hands. Often laughter breaks out and quite a few say, well, of course we can't do that. That's crazy. But Taluskin responds, if you can't answer yes, you've got to recognize that you've got a problem. Look at it this way. If you can't go 24 hours without drinking liquor, you're addicted to alcohol. If you can't go 24 hours without smoking, you're addicted to nicotine. If you can't go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you've lost control over your tongue. Ouch. That is so convicting. But he's absolutely right. Again, not asking you to raise your hands, but think about this question for yourself. Can you go 24 hours without saying anything bad to or about someone else? And yes, this includes the so-called innocent gossip that so many people take part in. Well, if you can't say yes, then you need to recognize you have a problem. And you need to ask God to help you do his word by first controlling your words. Bridgestone Tires ran one of the best commercials during the 2011 Super Bowl, which illustrates this problem that so many have. Take a look.
Oh no. Rod, you sent this email, reply all. You hit reply all. No! You know, I was wrong. You just sent this email to me. Could you imagine?
You remember that? I remember that. Of course, some of the favorite Super Bowl times are the commercials, right? If the Chiefs aren't playing, I'm just watching the commercials. the troubles your words can cause, whether it comes out of your mouth or through a keyboard. Why so many people get so in trouble on social media, they forget that there's real people out there looking at the things that they're typing or saying or tweeting or whatever they're doing. Social media is not a good way to share things that you really want to get out in the world. James continues, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. To do God's word specifically means care for the widows, according to James. Look after the disenfranchised. Do for those who cannot return the favor for you. That's so interesting. He's saying that growing through our own afflictions comes when you connect with others in their own afflictions. And throughout the Bible, we know that God has a care and concern for the widows and orphans. They hold a special place in his heart. So it makes sense that when he wants people to care for them, it's true, it's what the devotion to God is all about. To do God's word means first, control your words. Second, care for the widows and orphans. And third, James says it means stay clean from the world. Remain pure from the defilements of our culture. And that gets harder and harder to do every day, doesn't it? Because you can only make a difference in the world if you're different than the world around you. In his book, Glorious Mess, author Mike Howerton talks about the time he and his friends played mud football after a huge downpour. He and his neighborhood buddies discovered a gully filled with 2 inches of standing water, and they had a blast playing football in the mud. Every tackle would send them sliding for yards and yards. The ball was like a greased pig, which meant tons of fumbles, gang tackles, and fun and laughter, if you enjoy that kind of thing. Howerton says he remembers tackling his friend Craig and watching him skim across the surface of the water for something like 50 yards. Howerton thought, "I must be in heaven." But when his friend got up, Howerton noticed something stuck on his shoulder. He peered closer, wondering, "What is that?" Now, there was huge concrete sewage runoff right near the gully. And during heavy rains, all sorts of things got backed up. You see those Hero commercials during the week in the morning? If things get backed up into your drain, something like that was going on. Howerton and his friends didn't pay much attention to the stuff floating in the gully until someone realized there's something on Craig's shoulder. He looked at it a little closer and realized it was a soaking piece of toilet paper. In that same instant, he started to notice a pungent smell, a bit more pungent than the normal mud football game ought to be. So he yelled out, with a light bulb going off in his head, "We're playing in poop water!" And they all bolted home as fast as they could to take a shower. Friends, too many of God's people are playing in the world's sewage. They get drawn into what they see on TV or read online or on wherever they get their news from. They're pursuing happiness instead of holiness. They're seeking to build their own kingdom rather than spreading God's kingdom. They're stained with selfish ambition instead of selfless service. Well, they think that they're having fun, but they don't realize that they're rolling around in the world's sewage. I know that describes a lot of people in the world. Hopefully it doesn't describe you, but friend, if it does, then it's time for you to get clean. Own up to it. The Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we do what we do every time we get together at the very beginning of the service. We confess before God, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. But thank you so much for the wonderful absolution, the forgiveness that you've granted me only because of what Jesus did on that cross." James goes on and says we can't try to clean our own selves up, right? We need to confess our dirt to God and let him clean us up, living in true dependence on God in our life from that time forward. That's what James says is true religion. That doing the word is about a full dependence upon Christ. He says, control your words, care for the widows and orphans, and stay clean from what culture tries to draw us into. I'll go back to my original question. Do you want to pass the tests of life and come out on the other side of your trials a better person, more like Christ? Then with God's help, do this. Receive the word. Open up your Bibles at home. Watch some devotions. We have hundreds of devotions, especially during the time of COVID, that Pastor Neil and I recorded on our YouTube channel. Go watch them or rewatch them. There's plenty of other places that you can find good Christian biblical content. Receive the word and then do it. The next thing you need to do is reflect on the word. You've looked at the word, you've read it, you've got it in your brain. Then you need to reflect on it. Does this my life that God is talking about? Is this a reflection of what he wants from me? And if it's not, fix it. And finally, in James's words, practice true religion. And that means live out. Once you've taken the word in, you've reflected on it, you've cleaned up your life, then you can practice true religion with a dependence on God. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you, and it will encourage you and allow you to think going forward about these three themes. Receive the word, reflect on the word, and practice true religion in your lives. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.